It's time for Windows Weekly. Oh, we're going to have fun today. Mary Jo and Paul are in Toronto for Microsoft's Worldwide Partners Conference. It is going to be great. Wait till you see the guests they've lined up. Stay tuned. A really special Windows Weekly is up next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 474, recorded Wednesday, July 13th, 2016, Microsoft's Worldwide Partners Conference. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. Because everyone deserves a great night's sleep, get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/windows and using the promo code Windows. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/windows. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with a fast, easy, and completely online process. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/windows.
Sure.
It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. Couldn't be a better time to do it. They're at the Windows Partner Conference going on right now in Toronto, Canada. Look at that great group of people up there in the great frozen north, where it's probably 98 degrees.
Yeah, Paul, it is.
Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. Paul from Thurrott.com and Mary Jo Foley from ZDNet.com. And hey, guys.
Hey.
Nice to see you both.
It's like the belly of the Titanic in here.
I know. We're in a like a conference room with round tables that they had as a luncheon room.
Yep.
So it feels like we're about to do a cabaret show.
Yes.
Okay, Mary Jo.
It was built by the Morlocks because it goes down about...
Yeah. Ooh. Uh-oh.
There's a reason why you had those tap dance lessons when you were 8, Mary Jo. Let's see it. Yeah. Ball shuffle. No. All right. So what is the Worldwide Partners Conference? What is going on there?
Explain yourself, Mary Jo.
Yes, I will explain myself because I've come many years to the Worldwide Partner Conference. It's, for me, it's kind of like this unsung secret conference. A lot of reporters don't come because they're like, oh, it's a partner show. Who cares? But
that's what they think of you.
That's what they don't know that the partners are actually Microsoft Salesforce. And so what they tell you is the marching orders for what Microsoft's going to do in the coming year.
Mm.
That's why I come every year. There's roadmap stuff. There's a lot. You can kind of pick up the vibes about what's important, what's going to be big in the coming year.
Yeah, right. There's usually not hard news, which makes it a little awkward for people like us in some ways. But right, exactly what she said. It's really a very good view of where the company is heading right now.
And where is the company? Which begs the question, where the heck is the company headed right now? I'm sure that'll be the meat of the show today.
To the cloud, Leo.
Yes.
No kidding.
On the backs of bots.
On the backs of bots to cloud. Do these bots look like cats spitting rainbows?
Yes.
Thank you for the awkward laugh, Paul. I appreciate that. Leo, your attempted humor is mildly amusing.
You Pokemon living fool.
Do they have Pokemon in Toronto? I don't think they do. I'm sorry to say.
I don't know.
That's why.
We haven't had time to look.
Well, believe me, you would know. That's why you could still walk the streets in safety.
Yeah.
People are getting run over all over the country because of
sure.
Pokemon. They're looking down.
You're not watching the street.
No.
I had an elderly man yell at me yesterday because he thought I was going to run into him. I was still 20 feet away. He said, "Hey." I said, "What?" He said, "I thought I want to make sure you knew I was here." I said, "Sir, if I'm going to run into you, you'll know it, sir. You'll know it." And by the way, look at me. I'm as old as you are, so stop it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then the little Pokemon came out of his pocket.
And then I said, "Excuse me." Yeah. You know you have a Pokemon in your pocket.
Yep.
So You had a meetup Monday night, I guess.
Monday night, yeah.
I know, because I saw many drunken tweets from Paul.
Yep.
No, it was kind of one of our more epic meetups, I have to say.
Yeah, it was good.
It was like the who's who showed up. We didn't know who really would come, besides all of you awesome people who came from the partnership. But all of a sudden, in walks Chris Cappasella.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Oddly enough, he didn't buy all the drinks, was very disappointing.
No, he did not. And then we had some other stars show up. Donna Sarkar came.
She's in charge of Windows.
The new Windows Insider Chief.
Yes, James Insider.
Yep, James Whitaker.
By the way, it would be appropriate when you're talking about Donna Sarkar to say what she was wearing, who she was wearing.
Well, Leo, why don't we just bring her up on stage and you can see what she's wearing now?
Oh, because she's a fashionista. Is she going to join us later in the show? Wow.
Well, she's here right now.
Wow.
I see her.
The Fibonacci sequins.
Can we make this as awkward as possible?
Donna, would you come up?
Oh, my God. I'm so excited to meet her. Wow.
She's looking a little reticent, but she's coming.
She probably has to get permission.
Did you bring the ninja cat?
She's got a big bag, so something's in there.
There you go.
Uh-oh, the cat.
Is she bringing a cat?
Yeah.
So Chris Cappasella is the CMO, right?
He is.
Chief Marketing Officer.
James Whitaker is the distinguished engineer. He showed up.
Wow. We had Brian Roper.
Brian Roper, the man with the fedora. They all came to our meetup.
Yeah, it was nice.
Oh, man, if you missed that, you missed a party.
Once again, dressed better than I am. Thanks.
Dressed better than everyone at the partnership.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Donna Sarkar, gorgeous fashionista and engineer in charge of... By the way, we love your new office, Donna. Thanks for sharing that with us. Can you explain why... Oh, she can't hear me, can she?
Not yet.
I can hear you.
Can you?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's coming through the room.
Yeah, it's coming through.
So we made a big deal about the fact that you are facing the window, whereas the guy next to you is facing the door.
Brandon.
Brandon LeBlanc.
Brandon.
Brandon is not smart to put his back to the door.
No.
Oh, no.
Her back to the door.
He is smart. No, you have nothing to fear, but I understand why he would turn around.
People should be afraid of me. I'm not.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm excited you were here. We didn't know if you would come, and so we put a chair here, and just in case we had any luminaries in the audience that we could
So can I start calling people up?
Yeah.
No, that's not how it works,
Donna. That's not how it works. It's not like a talk show, like, I'm going to phone a friend.
Yeah. No, we want to ask you some things.
Of course they do. Okay.
Well, some easy things. Like, what do you think of the partnership? Is it your first partnership?
This is my very first WPC. It's been absolutely amazing. I didn't actually know what happened at WPC before, because as an engineer, they don't really let us talk to people. No, I'm lying. They do. They let us talk to customers, but generally, as an engineer in Windows, we don't engage heavily with the sales team or our partners. We leave that up to the sales team and the partners. But it's been pretty amazing to come here, and it all started at your meetup, actually. I got a chance to meet a lot of people who've been using Windows for a long time to run their businesses. So amongst the insiders community, I've met a lot of people who are consumers, so end users, students, people who are tech enthusiasts. But I haven't had a chance to meet a lot of people who use Windows to run a business or run large IT departments. So that's been pretty cool to hear about that.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how much learning happens at this conference. There's so much learning. It's not just, here's what my company does and why you should care about it. It seems to be a lot more about, here's how to take sales to the cloud. Here's how to use social media to drive your sales up. Here's how to show leadership within your community. So that's been pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. I've been just hanging out in Community Hub, listening to people give talks, while triaging insider feedback all day, every day.
Yeah, and launching builds, too. Nice.
Launching builds.
Nicely done.
We did a dinner last night.
Yeah,
we
saw that.
We had an insiders event. So that was pretty
cool. I was in a state where I could not write about it at that time.
We picked a moment when we'd be at dinner.
Not technically traveling, but
Nice. And your talks, you gave two talks also, right?
I did give two talks, yes. So on Monday, I had my first talk. It's called Rules Are Other People's Opinion. And it was actually the story of me and the Windows Insiders, our first 41 days together. And a lot of people chimed in on Twitter and said, it's already been 41 days.
I know. Yeah.
And others said, wait, you've been only doing this for 41 days?
It really has been a giant Gabe Who kind of thing.
No. Oh, we love that man. Right? But it's been an incredible 41 days. I said in my talk, my life changed completely 41 days ago. I had no idea what I was getting into.
Yep.
It's been far more
horrifying.
No, it's not horrifying. It's actually great. It's far better than I thought. Far better, because I think in my head I thought I'd be dealing with a lot more, I don't know, angst. Hmm. But it's been very positive.
Yeah.
People have been very, very positive.
Sure.
And when people on Twitter or message boards or whatever are negative, it's incredible to see the insiders kind of swoop to our defense and say,
sure,
no, this is what they mean, and here's what they're working on, and they're trying their best.
It helps you shipping something awesome, right? I mean, Windows 10 is so great. It's such a great thing to be on and be part of.
And they love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said in my talk that community is all about building tribes. So it's not like I'm a community leader and I have a community of all these people who I engage with one-on-one. It's more like we are a tribe of people achieving something great together. And that something great is using Windows to lead, whether career and business goals. And that's my purpose. It was my purpose before I took this job. It's been my purpose for years, which is to help people achieve their career and business goals using tech. Because tech is this unique superpower. Those who understand it and can use it can lead in industries that are just ripe for transformation. So I've been kind of vetting these mission statements with the insiders for the last week. And I ask them, can we get behind this mission? Because it truly is our mission for our program. And I've been telling them for a month that for 41 days, you're all part of our team. And I mean that. I truly mean that they are part of our team. I have one of the biggest engineering teams on Earth right now. That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's more powerful than things that most companies
can do. We get health benefits as part of this?
That's a very good question.
I have two questions for Donna. Mm-hmm. First of all, who are you wearing?
Who am I wearing?
Isn't that what you say when you meet somebody on the red carpet? Who are you wearing?
Who are you wearing?
This is not the podcast I signed up for later.
It's gorgeous. I love it. No, I know you're a fashionista. So this
is the
wow.
This is by One Tito. It's
so cool. Look at it. It's so cool.
It's 3D beads.
Wow.
What are the shoes? Because she had crazy.
Are they Manolos? Are they? I mean, come on. Oh my golly gosh! Those are combat shoes. You're entering into the release cycle shoes. Wow, those are awesome.
Yeah.
They're made by a German They're made by an architect named Charlene DeLuca.
They look architectural. All right. My other question is, what is N+1 testing? Build next. What the heck?
What does that mean?
Are you guys not cool with pointers?
Oh, these are pointers.
Who's good with pointers?
Oh, it's pointer. It's pointer math.
Come on.
You're dereferencing next. I get it.
Yes. Come on. I'm sure all of you got it.
Actually, so when you tweeted that, we had a discussion about
what it meant.
Because the way the builds have gone during the Insider program is it's a build. It's the whole thing. It gets plopped down. Things get reset.
That's right.
And I was wondering if by the time the anniversary update shipped public, if it couldn't just be a cumulative update of some kind instead of a full-blown... Was that what you were referring to?
So it's funny you talk about this because we've been doing a lot of internal stuff to try to figure out how we can ship builds faster, taking up less of a footprint in general, because that would help everybody. It would help us internally. It would help you guys. So we've been doing a lot of experiments and testing, and there's going to be a lot of cool stuff coming this fall. We've been saying, like, we may try to flight the flighting system.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool. Like, all right, we're going to rebuild the ship while we're on it, guys. It's
so
be
sort
great.
Of a, like a Delta update instead of a, you know, carpet
bombing. We're going to try. We're going to try to do it. There are many ways to do it. Mm-hmm. So we're trying a lot of different things in-house to see, okay, what makes sense for PC versus phone? What makes sense for fast-ring versus slow-ring? But in terms of what we were working on last week was a little bit of that, but also we don't ship a build unless we know we can upgrade from that build to the next build without any issue. We will never ship a build like that because otherwise we'll leave you all in a build and you can't upgrade from it. So until the tests for upgrading to the next build across a variety of machines, configurations, internet connectivity works, we won't ship.
Gotcha.
So it's just us being cautious because we have gotten clobbered by things like this before. Like it is unupgradable. You have to clean install.
Right.
I've done this to myself in Windows 7, so I remember this.
Yeah.
You try never to do this.
Right.
Okay.
But yeah.
Are you also going to be responsible for introducing the anniversary update to Xbox? Like, is that part of your job as well?
Not right now.
No. No.
Okay. So for the anniversary update, August 2nd, it's going to start rolling out in waves. But just like anything that rolls out to millions of people, hundreds of millions of people, it's going to take some time. So we'll start with PC and phone, and it's going to, you know, be a global rollout. It's going to take time. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to freak out.
Yep.
Where's my update? is it time yet? It didn't come. So it's going to take a little while to roll out to everybody. Mm-hmm. But Xbox and HoloLens, those come at different times since the end device is just separate.
Okay.
Great. But I mean, in other words, the Insider program for Windows and the preview program for Xbox are essentially going to be combined at some point, right? Post the anniversary update, I guess.
You know, I wouldn't say combined. I would say we need to figure out what it means.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because Xbox has got an incredible community. They've got a fantastic ambassador program. They have an amazing preview program. Back in the beginning of Windows 10, I actually did a walkthrough with the Xbox team on how they handle the Xbox support Twitter page. So I don't know if you guys know, but it's a pretty magical thing. In Studio D, there's this humongous room, maybe like a quarter of this size, and there's a team sitting there at tables. And anytime someone logs an issue, on the Xbox support site, it says, like, we're here between 8 and 6 PST, something like that. So during those hours, the team sits there. And whenever someone tweets something at them, it pops up on a series of screens and pops up on the first screen, and it's flagged as like sentiment, negative, positive. It does some sentiment analysis. And one of the people from the team say, I got it. And they grab it, just like a ticketing system. And these are engineers. So this is not customer support. This is engineering.
Right.
And everyone does this kind of tour. This is their job, because this is how you make the product better.
Yeah.
But they were hyper organized about it, where they said, we're going to handle this. And then that's why they have a response time of 7 minutes, because they in turn tackle every single one. They have a lot less traffic than we do.
Oh, yeah.
And their issues they're of a certain kind, right? Like my service is down, or I accidentally deleted my avatar. So their set of issues are complex, but they're not global 24 hours a day across all of these different device types. I think most of the questions that I get on Twitter are about the variety of device types.
Yeah,
right?
I have an Asus, blah, 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 whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, my Dell tower from 9 years ago that I've upgraded to here and there. And I love that. That's something I love about Windows, that you don't need to be a one percenter to own a Windows PC.
Right.
You don't. Right? So I'm an engineer at Microsoft, but I'm also an artist and a writer. And when I look at other artists and writers, and I have a lot of artist and writer friends, especially on the West Coast, there's this weird peer pressure that you've got to be making a lot of money. And I'm sorry, but you didn't get into art or become an author to make money, right?
We know.
I can confirm that, yeah. Having been both an artist and a writer, and you'll notice the way I'm dressed.
That's not why we got into this business, right? We get into those businesses because we can't not. You're a writer because the words will not leave you, because they possess you, and you have to write them down, or you'll drive yourself and other people around you insane. So it's the same with art. It lives within you. It's got to come out. So we don't get into those industries because we think, okay, I'm going to become a millionaire by age 25, right? That's not why. So the intense peer pressure to actually opt into other ecosystems that are quite expensive to opt into as artists is, I don't think it's great for artists. That's one of the problems that I definitely want to solve in FY17, is go out there and have more creatives in the insider community, So with things like the Surface Book and HoloLens and IoT, there's a lot of opportunities for creatives to actually express themselves from out from behind a screen. Because a screen is involved, but the screen is not the goal. Right. So I want to be very heavily involved with reaching out to communities of maybe art school or fashion school or writers and help them achieve their career and goals, their career and business goals. Because I think that's a huge market that we don't focus on. Whereas people who work in corporations, whether it's engineers or business people, we have a lot of mentors around us who can help us with how do I build my personal brand? How can I set myself apart? How can I, which PC should I buy? Right? Which device is good for my house? There's a lot of people that we can call on, right? Anyone in this room, we can tap anyone else in this room and say, what's the best way to wirelessly hook up my house? How do I have cellular connectivity wherever I go? How do I make a Wi-Fi hotspot? We all can figure that out. Whereas the creatives, they use tech to do something. They don't just use tech for tech's sake. Some do, but in general, tech is a tool in amongst their arsenal of things to achieve their career goals. And oftentimes with these folks, their brand and their name is their business, right? Something.com is their entire reputation.
Right.
They don't work from behind like the walls of a company. So I think it's our responsibility, especially in the big companies, to go out there and help them kind of achieve the success that they're looking for. And that doesn't mean becoming wealthy, right? It's whatever they want it to be. Long answer.
So, on a totally different thread.
Yeah.
When is the anniversary update going to be done? RT, whatever you want to call it.
August 2nd.
I mean, yeah. But yep. Before that.
There was some question in our chat room whether that Donna might have been said something that might imply that wouldn't be right away. So good, yes, on schedule.
August 2nd, Preve.
How about RTM?
What is RTM?
What is RTM?
Right? What is that mean?
An existential question.
Yeah. What is RTM anyway?
Yep.
You know, we don't have this date written down somewhere on a calendar circled, right?
Right.
Because Windows as a service and feedback as a service inherently means it's a service.
Right.
So one of these days we're going to say, this is the build we feel good about, this is the one we're going to ship. But you guys know about as well as I do, right?
It's getting closer,
but we spend all of our time. I spend 18 hours a day on three different screens, Feedback Hub, Twitter, telemetry data. And I'm triangulating between the three all day long. And I've been doing it here. And whenever I run into an insider, I show them, here are my screens. When I'm nagging you guys to actually put stuff in Feedback Hub, it's for a reason, because that's the truth. That's the universal truth of knowing what we need to fix, whether it's for anniversary or whether it's for Windows.
So, like, July 29th.
When is July 29th? I don't even know when July 29th is. Isn't it in 2 weeks? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So it totally depends on when we have a build that we feel good about. We know that we're going to have a build we feel good about before August 2nd because we're close. But there are bugs that we know that we want to fix before then. And a lot of these are fixed in Canary, and we want to. No, I've got, like, three different builds with me right now. I've got, like, build.
Oh, I thought you were going to pull the red button out.
No, I don't have the red button with me.
So she has an X3, which you should pass down here so we can manhandle it.
Yeah,
so I, like, waved this around the other day. It's lovely. Really, really nice. So I borrowed this, stole, and
that's the HP that's designed for
give
enterprise.
It back. The screen is, like, quite lovely.
Mm.
And the Continuum is really nice on there. So we did a Continuum app contest, and one of the prizes was giving away the Elite. So I felt sad, so they let me borrow one for the week. So,
yeah. Nice.
Have we harassed her enough?
Have you harassed me enough? It's time to go. So what are some of your goals?
Life goals? Well,
yeah.
I'm glad you asked.
Okay, we're going to take a break for an ad right now, but we'll be right back with Paul's life goals.
Tell me more.
More with Paul and Mary Jo in just a little bit, but first a word about why I look so rested and relaxed. I thank you, Casper, for the best night's sleep. Casper mattresses, they are awesome. And the cost won't keep you up either. Casper sells mattresses made in the USA, obsessively engineered, and they sell them direct from the Casper factory in the USA. So you save big time. It's an obsessively engineered mattress at a fair price, at a really nice combination of springy latex foam, supportive memory foam, to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. No wonder they got a 2016 Business Intelligence Group Innovation Award. And I give them the Leo Laporte slept really good on this mattress award. Maybe not as prestigious, but it's true. It breathes. By the way, in a hot summer night, you will be so glad you have a Casper. It's cool, and it helps you regulate your temperature throughout the night. And sleep science shows that's a big part of sleeping well. Easy to buy online. And I know, you know, because people worry, well, I want to try before I buy. Casper has probably the best risk-free guarantee of any mattress company. You don't have to test it in the showroom. You could try sleeping it for 100 nights. So the delivery is free, comes in a very compact box, easy to move in. In fact, that's why I gave my son a Casper for college. You know, the dorm had mattresses, but they weren't the greatest. And it was easy. He's on the third floor. We gave him a Casper mattress. He could carry the box upstairs, open it up, and then he's got a beautiful, comfy mattress. And if at any point in the first 100 nights you say, this isn't right for me, you just call them up. They'll take it back. They'll come. They'll get it. They'll dispose of it. Refund you every penny. The Casper mattress, engineered to meet the Goldilocks standard of just right. Not too hard, not too soft, just right. Free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. Made in the USA. Visit casper.com/windows. $500 for a twin, $950 for a king size. And if you compare that to the mattress at your mattress store, you'll see what a great deal that is. Save an additional $50 when you use our offer code windows at casper.com/windows. Terms and conditions apply. It's all there, though. You'll find out all about it, and I think you'll love it. casper.com/windows. Don't forget the promo code windows, and we thank Casper so much for their support of Windows Weekly this week.
So, life goals, career goals.
I'm sorry, what?
You're on the hot seat, man.
Why are we talking about this?
Because it's my mission. It's the mission of the insiders. To empower people to transform industries. So what do you want to do?
I mean, Microsoft has already given me such a wonderful career. I just want to coast basically from here on out.
Forever. So. But Paul, you're going to live for like 70 more years. So what are you going to do?
Clearly you're not looking at the right person when you say that. No, I like what I do. I mean, I'm actually very lucky. I mean, I hopefully everyone here does too. I mean, I actually like what I do. Like, I get up in the morning and I want to do it. Yeah. And I had a conversation a couple of years ago at a show like this with a guy from Microsoft who actually, I guess, has left since now, Adam Sohn.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, you know, admit it. If you hit the lottery, you would keep doing this. And I said, yeah, you're right. You know.
You would?
Yeah. Not as much. I mean.
Not as much.
No, I like doing it. So, I'm in a good place.
Yeah. So what are some skills that you want to learn in the next year?
Yikes. Okay. I didn't anticipate this direction.
No.
No, so I always try to learn. I'm trying to learn foreign languages. I'm learning French right now. I'm trying to learn, relearn. I actually came up as a programmer, so I've gotten back into that. I'm doing a Udacity course.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's learning Swift because he can't wait to write an iOS app.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I'm learning Android.
I'm teasing. I wasn't so far off, I guess.
Yeah. but that's the time. I just do that type of stuff on the side all the time.
Yeah, so. It's really important to keep learning. I tell everybody that if you're not learning one new thing, actively learning, not saying you're going to learn, then your brain is degenerating slowly.
Right. Exactly.
So if you're not growing, you're shrinking. So
I'm definitely not shrinking. yes, I agree with
okay.
you.
Okay, cool. What about you, MJ?
So I also really like what I do. But if I hit the lottery, I would not keep doing it.
There would be a pile of dust and she'd be gone.
No. I would, if I hit the lottery, I would somehow find a way to open a brewery.
Ooh. I think you can have some takers in this room.
Yep.
on that.
I would first like, go to beer school.
Yeah, well, that's learning.
Beer school.
There's such a thing?
Yeah, there is, actually. Yeah.
Like beer drinking school or beer
making school?
Oh, beer making school.
Because my son goes to beer drinking school.
I don't eat beer drinking school.
CU Boulder, yeah.
Graduated on that one.
Someone was saying that's what we call the MVP Summit, is beer drinking school. Yeah.
Great. So I would do that. I would like to travel more.
Yeah.
I really love to travel, especially Asia. I'm like obsessed with going to Asia.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Cool. Where?
I've been to China, I've been to Japan, and recently to Vietnam and Cambodia.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah.
So I love traveling.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've never done travel writing, but I think that would be really awesome.
Would be awesome.
It would.
That would be really cool.
It would.
I think talking about how countries like that use tech for creative purposes that we've never thought of would be amazing.
Right.
I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
We've been talking amongst the insiders and marketing team how every time we go to a city, we want to do an insider event. And we want to invite a wide variety of people. So last night's event was really cool because we had someone who helps elderly people with tech, like far more elderly, between 80 and 100, because they may not have use of all their fingers and they rely heavily on Cortana and voice. Then we had a gentleman who was blind, and then we had a young gentleman who was 13. So it was a really wide, very, very wide variety of people who came. And that diversity is awesome to see because that's how we're going to build better products. So we love the idea of traveling and as we go to cities to do insider events just to meet different kinds of people and to help them achieve certain goals that they have in their life and to bring that community together. Because I think there's something really powerful about going to a city and being able to bring together a lot of people who may be strangers, but when they leave, they're friends, because that community remains, whether we are physically there or not. So that's one of the goals that we've got for the year as well. Yes. And I would love to see how they use tech to solve interesting problems that we don't even know about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things
You're turning the table
What happened
on us here?
This is Engineering Manager 101, people. Yeah. So
the hunter becomes the hunter.
What are some things that I and the insider community, the tribe, can do to help you guys achieve your goals? Rather than, you know, stopping a pain. But
you're in the tribe.
Yeah, you're both in the tribe.
I'm not in the tribe.
You're not in the tribe?
Nope.
But you install builds.
Nope. I've never installed a build.
You don't install builds?
Nope.
Really? You know a lot about the builds.
I'm a normal. Oh. I'm the representative for normals.
Oh,
so I'm running Windows 10 November.
Oh, shipped. Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
That's why I'm curious about RT, whatever.
Yeah. RT something.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yep.
RT the world.
Yeah.
RT the world.
Yeah. So, we get a lot of help from the insiders, though, because they're always asking us, you know, find out about this, find out about that.
That's great
for us.
Yeah.
It keeps us focused on what people care about.
That's right.
And that informs your coverage.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, the whole point of having this tribe is so we help each other. So if there's things that we as insiders can do to help you guys, you should just let us know, because we're a helpful bunch. I don't know if you guys have been seeing, but there's one insider named Mario who's been answering pretty much every single thing anyone tweets at me, because I've been kind of busy this week.
That's amazing.
And he's been responding to each one and trying to help
What's
people.
What's Mario doing for me? Home. Maybe we could get Mario
to help you out.
Yeah.
Get in a room with
Mario's
the screen
awesome.
And every time there's a tweet.
And he's been just lovely. If you look at hashtag Windows Insiders, Mario has responded to so many people. Like 20 hours a day, I'm like, kid, you got to get some rest or just come and join us in our giant control center, because he's been really, really on it. And that's been really cool to see. I tell everyone, like, so how do you decide what you're going to respond to and what you're not going to respond to? And it's not a conscious decision, like, I'm not going to respond to this. Mm-hmm. It's more of I am insanely busy trying to triangulate feedback between Feedback Hub, Twitter, and looking at tell data. And if I need more information, I'll ask the question. So I always appreciate when people from the community actually help other people in the community. That is the quickest way to get our attention, by far. I usually wind up following the really helpful people because we like to have just private message conversations.
Right.
And I tell them, like, thank you for your help. Here's another message you can give if you need more information. So that's one of the quickest ways to get our attention, is to help others. Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we probably spend a lot of the day in a similar fashion to you, right? I mean, we're on Twitter all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
responding to email and so forth.
Yes. What did you think of the keynotes?
They were long. This, well, we talked about this, I think, up front. You know, the show's unique and it's different and it's not news heavy, which, you know, for us is a little different than the usual show.
Yeah.
And but it is really good for the background stuff. And it's I always find it very interesting to see how Microsoft says or writes in blog posts or press releases what they're doing. It's because we have our own take on it, obviously, or you can kind of provide some analysis on top of it. But this kind of thing is like a level set for the next year. It's really, really interesting.
It's also great to talk to the people who are here because a lot of them have come for years, right?
Yes.
And so, like, this is the first post-Kevin Turner partnership.
Right.
Which is, it's been interesting to see the difference, to me, anyway, in the vibe.
Right.
Now that he's not here. I think a lot of partners are we're a little apprehensive, like, what's it going to be like without him?
Yeah.
But after Judson and other people spoke, I think
there's great people there.
We're on board. We're on track. You know, we're just having a different emphasis now. So,
sure.
Yeah.
He's got a great team.
He does. Yeah.
They're really, really smart people.
Yeah.
Last night, I had a chance to talk to a lot of people who work in sales, especially in different offices. Man, they know a lot of stuff.
I know.
They know so much about the product and the needs of customers and
code names, ship dates,
RTM dates.
They know all these things.
No such thing.
I mean, if there was going to be an RTM date, you know, just theoretically.
Yeah.
When would that be?
We're never going to give
August 2nd. Yeah. Okay. No, seriously, though, August 2nd. It's going to be decided by the feedback that we get. That's the point, right?
Sure.
Right. That's the point of shipping a product with millions of our closest friends is the world's biggest crowdsource, right? We are one of the world's biggest crowdsource. There's a reason people are copying our program. That is funny to watch that happen because they realize, like, wait, crowdsourcing, it's brilliant. No, it's like the coolest flash mob on the planet. So, yeah.
Nice.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm going to let you get back to your show.
No, thank you so much.
You can just leave those. That's fine.
No. Okay. Yeah, these are builds that none of y'all have seen yet. So
right, exactly.
I am going to very safely take them with me. Thank you very much
for
having me.
Thanks for coming up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wonderful. Donna Sokar. She runs the Insider program.
I would never let any of you go Dr. Phil on me like she just did, by the way.
No.
Wow. I learned more about you in just 15 minutes, Paul, than I really care to know. Thank you.
I know.
No, that's amazing. That was great. She really turned the tables on you guys. That's called good marketing.
It was effortlessly.
Just like, you start asking the tough questions. She says, what about you, Paul?
Start
what are
sweating
you
a little bit.
Yeah. I loved it. We'll have more with Paul and Mary Jo in just a bit in Toronto. But first, a word from our fine sponsor. I'm talking ZipRecruiter. My friend, if you have to do the hiring in your business, you must know about ZipRecruiter. It is awesome. ZipRecruiter.com/windows if you want to try it free. The idea of ZipRecruiter is, look, that candidate you're looking for is out there somewhere. The question is, where do you go to find just the right person? Just the right person is waiting to work for you, I promise. But you got to find them. With ZipRecruiter, you're going to more people. You're getting to everybody who's interested because with one click of the mouse, you post to 100-plus job boards, including social networks, Facebook and Twitter, with one click. You also are immediately matched to more than 6 million current resumes. So within 24 hours, you're going to get applicants. And the nice thing is they don't go into your mailbox. They don't go into your phone because they go into the ZipRecruiter easy-to-use interface where you can screen out the candidates that don't match your needs, rank the rest, and hire the right one fast. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. You can add multiple users to your account, too, so many people can be involved, simplifying your workload. You'll find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. Find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 800,000 businesses to find, including Twit, by the way, to hire the right person fast. Those numbers should tell you something. ZipRecruiter works. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/windows and try it for free. Post that job for free at ZipRecruiter.com/windows. We thank them so much for their support of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo.
It really does look like a cruise ship from that angle, doesn't it?
Love,
really does.
Exciting and new.
There's an ice cream buffet outside.
You're having fun. I could tell you're having fun, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great. It seems like a great event. Isn't Toronto a great city? This is your first time, isn't it, Paul?
It is. I've been through Toronto quickly before, but first time in forever. And it is such a beautiful city. It really is. We go to all kinds of places for these shows, and this is one of the best cities I've ever been to. Yeah. I've already, in the course of being here, called my wife and said, we need to think about some kind of long weekend, something here. Oh, yeah. It's
well, you're so nearby, amazing. Really. It's not hard to get to.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I was there 1 week a month for three or four years, and I just, I came to love this city. Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, got to go down the world's longest street, Yonge Street, and then Queen Street, and visit all. I saw all your pictures on Facebook. I could tell you were really enjoying it in the CN Tower.
Guys, there's been a lot of jokes about the Toronto street gangs. You know, like guys who walk down the street with the combs instead of the knives.
You bump into them and they apologize. It's an amazing city.
Exactly. Yeah. No, we were standing on a corner, and it's a mass of humanity because all the people were going to the show, and this really friendly guy on a bike just turns to the guy next to me and says, "Hey, you guys here for the Microsoft show?" And he said, "Yeah." He goes, "I hope you like the city." Yeah. And he drove away, and I was thinking, that guy in New York would have just stabbed him in the side.
Hey.
You know? Hey.
Hey, you're insulting my hometown.
No, not so.
No, yeah, that was actually one of my crazy moments here. When the first day keynote let out, everyone, like, charged out of the place where they had the keynote and towards the convention center all at once. And I got caught up in the crowd, and I just couldn't get out of the crowd. And I was, like, dragged along.
Like a mosh pit.
It was. And then I got to the convention center, and they were only letting a few people in at a time. So I was outside 45 minutes, and I couldn't get in the convention center.
If anyone ever told me I was going to come to Toronto and get a sunburn. And
I know. It was so hot.
Right, get heat stroke. That just doesn't make sense to me. But
crazy.
Yeah, it's been a strange week.
Yep.
Leo's off getting Pokemons again, I think.
He is. He's out, like, looking for them.
Well, who else can we bring up?
Okay, so I'm looking out in the audience right now, and I see someone else I want to bring up.
Okay. I think I know who
you, Mr. James Whitaker.
You're going to have to tape over that shirt, though.
Yeah. So James Whitaker.
Don't you dare ask me.
We have to stop meeting like
that. We do. James Whitaker.
How are you, Paul? Hi. Feeling a little better?
A little bit. Yeah. Last night was rough.
Distinguished engineer at Microsoft, ex-Googler.
Distinguished makes me sound old. Oh, never mind. Yeah.
D.
Yeah,
yeah.
Keep going. Let's keep going. Yeah. D, there we go.
And I call him now chief mentor at Microsoft.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of doing that now, right?
Yeah.
I asked you the other day, I'm like, what do you even do now?
Yeah, what is your primary function?
That's kind of my thing. So Microsoft has this Empower Individuals, and I've simplified it because I'm from Kentucky and it's too many words. Empower the world to achieve more. So I've kind of taken on the role of trying to empower Microsoft to achieve more because, you know, we've got a lot of really smart people.
Yeah.
And they're not in positions of power or decision making. And sometimes they should be. And so I kind of put myself in a position where I meet the young and the bold and the
brash.
Yes, filled with ideas. And it turns out they have better ideas than mm-hmm. old white guys like me. So, you know, I'll use my old white guy power to further their careers.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
All right. We're having fun in our old age, aren't we? In our dotage.
In our dotage, yeah. Life slows down. It's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's slow for you, though. You're, like, everywhere right
now. It's kind of a lot of travel because there's a lot of people at Microsoft that need inspiring. And so speaking of which, come to my creativity class.
I know.
I'm doing a lot of these soft skills things because it turns out that the soft skills stuff is more important. I mean, we have a lot of people who know how to code. We don't necessarily have a lot of people who know how to tell their story, a lot of people who know how to make their role really exciting and sell their products mm-hmm. to people. And you know, when you tell somebody you do, what do you do? And they go, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
I want more people to be able to do that because I think Microsoft is, you know, Donna made a point about this first world problem that you don't need to be a first worlder to afford a Windows machine. And so, you know, more people need to hear that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm curious what you think of WPC, because you're very good at kind of getting the vibe at places, I think.
I like WPC happens to be my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, you've been.
I won best presentation last year.
Did you?
I did. That's why I'm back.
So you're biased a little bit.
I'm biased a little bit, yeah. I like the people who vote for me in WPC especially. They freaking rock. Did you see that self that I actually bleeped myself there?
Yes. Nice work.
I like WPC because it's, you know, you tech ready's fun, the field comes in, but it's kind of this Microsoft love fest, and the people at WPC will call on us, and they do it loudly. And they listen to us, and they say, yeah, but it doesn't work, right? It sounds nice, but it doesn't work. Yep. You missed a spot. And I totally respect that.
Yeah.
You also missed
a
bleep.
I don't get it anywhere else, you know, especially, you know, the MGXs, the tech readies, it's all a bunch of cheerleading. Never been much on cheerleading.
Right.
So creativity.
Yeah, it turns out there's a formula. I can teach you how to be creative.
Can you?
Yes.
Anyone?
And I know why you're not.
Why?
Well, not you. I'm talking about him.
Yep.
I know why he's not, right? Because our schools take it out of us. Between our schools teaching us that learning is boring, between our social networks when we're 12 and 13 and 14 teaching us that we need to fit in, we lose our creativity. So I've kind of decoded it. There's a little neuroscience and there's a little storytelling, and I'll teach you how to be creative at 4 o'clock. In fact, I kind of got to go do that.
And everybody on the stage is more interesting than me, so thank you for that.
He's another craft beer lover. Yeah, in fact, I did a little impromptu interview with James yesterday on the show floor. And in the middle of it, we were both very animated. And all of a sudden, James, you hit it, not me. He hit the beer. We were drinking beer, too.
Oh,
surprise.
That's what that was. Yes,
and the beer went everywhere. It was just like in the middle of it, we're live taping it. And the beer is like...
I think every...
I know. Well, you had a Surface Book. I pulled your Surface Book back because I was like, yikes.
Everybody here knows Mary Jo well enough to know that this is not the first time this has happened to her, and I don't even understand why you're calling it out.
What do you mean? You've had beer spilled on you? Once or twice. Yeah. Yes. So thanks, James. That was great. So should we actually talk about the news?
It's so boring now talking about stuff. But yes, we probably should.
We should, because a lot of things did happen this week.
That's true.
At the partner show.
So where do we start?
Where do we start?
3 days of keynotes.
Yep. 3 days of keynotes. We went to 2 of the 3. We watched the third today.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Nope. We get to sit.
It's not always 3 days of keynotes at WPC, is it?
Yeah, there's always tons of keynotes at WPC. There used to be like hours on end.
Yeah. They were shorter than before.
They're way shorter.
There's a Kevin Turner theory about that, by the way, that you know his absence put a little hole in the lineup there.
Oh, really? No, I don't think so.
We talked to some folks from Microsoft. They were saying, you know, they wanted to get it in under 2, and they did a pretty good job with that.
So, yeah, the keynotes were good. Day one, Satya kind of setting the big vision.
Yep.
And then day two was all products. That was my day. Cloud. Scott Gu not wearing a red shirt.
Yeah, that's what he does at the business stuff.
I know. I didn't like it, though. It felt weird.
Gabriella came out.
Gabriella, who's the new partner chief, she came out. Then we had a little Yusuf Mehdi talking about Windows. And we had Kirk Konigsberg talking about Office. Saw lots of demos.
Yep.
EMS.
Yep. EM plus S, we now call it.
I know. So many product renamings.
Yep.
So many new ways to buy products. So, yeah, I thought it was a good set of keynotes. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Today was Brad Smith. His talk was really interesting. I don't know how many of you all caught that, but he talked a lot about using the cloud for good. This is a speech that never would have happened at Microsoft a couple of years ago.
Because they were using it for evil?
Not because they were using it for evil. Okay. But just the emphasis was very different, right? Like, before it was like, how do we crush Amazon? How do we crush Google? Now we're like, let's use the cloud for good.
Well, now you do it with a smile on your face.
No, it really did feel different. I mean, Judson Althoff, who was kind of filling in for Kevin Turner, did do the competitive analysis thing too, but...
Yeah.
I thought the vibe was very different from the keynotes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. So what else?
How about some hard news?
Some hard news? Oh.
We have a little hard news.
We do. Surface is a service.
Surface is a service.
Yeah.
Because everything's a service now.
Everything's a service. Even hardware is a service. Right.
Which actually makes sense, right?
So Surface as a service got
announced. So what it is actually is a leasing program for Surface, which in a nutshell, that's what that was, even though it sounded like a lofty.
But it makes sense, right? I mean, the enterprise is used to buying things that way, usually software, but or other services.
And for partners, it's great because now you can like have everything on one customer bill and one portal, the whole thing, right? So now you even have the hardware there.
This is not going to be news to anyone here who's a partner, but for someone like me, this was a very interesting aspect to it, that partners will buy these devices from Microsoft. They'll resell them potentially with other services, obviously, to some enterprise. 2 years will go by, let's say, is the term of the lease, and they get them back. But then they can resell them again, perhaps to an educational institution that may not have the same budgets and maybe doesn't care that it's a two-year-old device. That was kind of eye-opening, and it really makes sense. You know, I thought that was kind of interesting.
I also thought it was kind of a little bit hidden, but IBM was announced as a systems integrator for Surface, which is a huge deal if you know about IBM and Apple's deal.
So these things are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah. Right. They didn't replace Apple, but
I mean, IBM is working with Apple on apps.
They are.
IBM
and,
is
and
working
with Microsoft.
Sure.
Yep.
Sure. No, of course. Yeah. But those are different types of products, and
they are.
I don't see any.
No. So, but it's interesting that IBM saw enough demand from their customers for Surface that they said, okay, we're going to develop some data analytics kind of apps.
Well, they're not alone, right? So I hope the math is not wrong here, the numbers aren't wrong, but I believe the numbers were 200 partners reselling Surface a year ago. Yep. 10,000?
Or so.
I think, right?
I think so, yep.
I mean, so
right around
IBM's not the only one.
No, not the only one. Then we heard about more subscription services for Windows 10, that whole Windows 10 E3 enterprise.
If there's anyone in the audience who could explain this to us, we would love to hear the rationale here.
We're going to actually have a Q&A as part of this, so if anybody wants to kind of help us figure this out, because we're still struggling a little bit, we're going to be doing that in a bit. But what Microsoft announced was that partners are going to be selling Windows 10 Enterprise as a subscription for $7 per user per month, which is
typically with other things. I think that's maybe the key part of this, that
you can bundle it with other things.
Yeah, Office 365.
Right. Even Dynamics 365 at some point.
And Surface as well, right?
It's all about Dynamics. Remember last week?
It's always about Dynamics.
Yeah. So that got announced here at the show. What else did? I'm trying to think of some of the other big
Facebook
items.
Declared that Microsoft was cool again. So good for them.
Woo!
It's nice to see Silicon Valley waking up to something that happened a couple of years ago.
Right.
But okay,
right.
Nice little soundbite there.
Yeah, So the Facebook thing was interesting. They had the CIO of Facebook come up and speak at the conference here and talk about why Facebook is supporting Office 365 as one of the platforms. So what they're doing is they're mostly doing Exchange, email, and calendaring.
I think what they wanted was Yammer so they could do some social networking in-house.
Yeah, they needed that. Right. LinkedIn, perhaps?
Yeah.
So they're not using all of Office 365. They're not throwing out all the other things they use, including Facebook at Work inside of Facebook. They're still going to use that. But they are also supporting Office 365 now, too, for their own employees. So that's a pretty big deal. What else?
Skype for Linux.
I'm going to let you talk about Skype for Linux because you love Linux.
This is huge for me.
I know. It is.
I'm very excited, Paul.
I think we're over the hump. And then something like this happens, and I realize it's just never going to stop.
No.
So I'm curious to see this client, because the way it was described to me is it's a WebRTC client, which I take to mean a web app, which I don't know if that means it's in some sort of an application shell, but it's the basis for the Chrome and Chromebook, you know, Chrome OS version of Skype, which will also be updated over time as Skype for Linux is. So
yeah, because Chrome OS is essentially a Linux kernel. So
yeah. So, but I believe they all share the same. I think they're all basically the same code.
Right.
And so, as Skype for Linux is updated to support other Skype features like video chat, of course, and whatever else, so too will be those web clients. And that means there's going to be a first-class Skype experience on these platforms.
you can't even use the L word?
These other platforms, which inexplicably still exist. So, that's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
I think it was 3 years, right, since the last.
Did they?
The last time Skype for
they
Linux
had Skype
was updated
for Linux before.
2 years
did
ago, at least.
Did they say if they were using WebRTC for this, or are they going to continue?
They are.
Okay, so that isn't, I'll be honest,
yep.
That's not the Skype experience we're having now, for instance. The Skype for other platforms uses a proprietary codec. I think it's called Bricks.
So, by the way, you'll want to pay attention this week because there's more coming. But one of the basics, one of the things they do mention in this post is that the old version of Skype supports the old infrastructure. The new version of Linux supports a new infrastructure.
Right, and the old Linux version is so old that it's barely usable.
Yeah. Right. So this is going to be a fully modern client, and it's going to be completely full-featured.
But the Silk, it's the Silk codec, is a proprietary codec. And okay. I can understand why for Chrome, and I guess they'll then by extension do it for Linux, that they would end up using WebRTC, which is a non-proprietary codec, which is not as good, frankly, as the codec we're using right now, the Silk codec.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
So it isn't it's the full UI experience. But it's not the full quality experience, is my point.
So it's an alpha, and I guess all I would say here is we need to wait and see how it evolves, because I think more is coming.
Same.
Yeah, and the question to ask is, which codec are you offering on these platforms? That would make sense they'd use WebRTC, because that's kind of the standard.
Yeah. It is WebRTC.
They did say WebRTC.
No. Yeah.
So that's from my point of view as a Skype user, that we get so much better result using the Skype Silk proprietary codec. Which
so
we're using.
Well,
look what we're getting right now. Yeah. I mean, if you're watching this at home, look what we're getting right now. This is broadcast quality. WebRTC will not be this good. We know we've used it frequently.
I find this strangely comforting, Leo.
Yeah, because you hate Linux. You're just a Linux hater. I know you.
He is.
Hate is a strong word.
I got my eye on you, Theron. No, but that's it's not disappointing. At least they'll have a kind of. But it's not really Skype for Linux. It's WebRTC. There are plenty of WebRTC clients for Linux, so that's not and Chrome OS. That's not an issue.
I think the goal for the Skype team seems to be to make things more alike, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So all the different clients that they have, they're trying to make these have more of a shared code base, a shared look and feel.
Right.
And that's good for Microsoft. Good for customers who are using it on different platforms.
But it's UI level. It's not under the hood level.
Well, yes, I mean, but of course, under the hood has changed as well. I mean, because, like you said, the old version was very dated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I know, it was unusable.
Yeah. So that'll be slightly less unusable.
Yeah. I'm just saying, Paul. No reason to suffer. This is not.
Anything. So I don't need to switch to cinnamon or whatever it's called. Or
no, you don't have to use cinnamon. You may stay cinnamon free, my friend.
With your vines and your cinnamons.
Yeah, and then the other thing we alluded to as we've been talking was Kevin Turner leaving Microsoft. So Kevin Turner had been there for a really long time as the COO, came to Microsoft under Steve Ballmer from Walmart, kind of was seen as the villain at Microsoft.
Thus the mustache.
Yes. it was interesting because I tried to be diplomatic when I wrote about it. I said he was a polarizing figure.
As you can tell, she's not going to try now.
No, I'm not. And as soon as I posted about Kevin Turner leaving, I started getting all these things, champagne corks popping all over campus.
I don't do the inside Microsoft employee thing like Mary Jo does, but I also heard from a bunch of people about the same topic and along the same vein.
Right.
And some very forcibly worded text messages.
Yes.
Which was kind of interesting because.
Right.
What's the rationale? Why?
Well, so he was disliked because he brought scorecarding to Microsoft for one. That was one big one for inside employees. So that means he was bringing in this new kind of measure of customer satisfaction, partner satisfaction that a lot of people felt didn't really fit with a tech company. Plus, he wasn't really a tech guy.
Well, that's nobody's perfect.
an operations guy, though, and that's
he was an operations guy.
Chief operations officer,
makes sense.
Tend to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And by the way, it is worth remembering he was super successful.
Yes,
that business grew dramatically.
But with the reorg, it almost feels like Microsoft saying, "Oh, we don't need a chief operations guy."
Right. So they took his job and they split it up among a number of people who are at Microsoft currently.
Right.
The CFO, Chris Capossola.
By the way, not the first time they have not had a COO.
No, there has been a
various periods in Microsoft's history when they have not had a single COO. So it's not unprecedented.
Right.
But they split his job up among a number of different people. Capasola, Amy Hood, the CFO, Kurt Delbene. And then Judson Althoff is basically kind of the new Kevin Turner from a partner perspective.
One-seventh of Kevin Turner.
One small slice of Kevin Turner. Although Kevin Turner doesn't look like the old Kevin
That's
Turner.
True, speaking of small slices, yeah.
So, yeah, that kind of was something that happened after last week's Windows Weekly, right before the partnership.
It was interesting timing, right?
It was.
You have to wonder about this. We talked to people, I was told anyway that he left of his own volition. But it was interesting the way it happened and the timing right before WPC, where he's the headliner, obviously.
You know, at one point he was supposed to be, he was in the running, I should say, for Satya Nadella's job.
Yeah.
And when he didn't get it, a lot of people thought he would leave immediately because he had said his career goal was to be the CEO of some company.
Right.
And so Microsoft employees were very happy as a general group that it was not him.
Okay. Upwardly mobile guy, so he was going to become the CEO of some company.
Right. So Citadel Ventures, he is now running that business.
Yeah.
So I don't think we need to belabor Kevin Turner. He's gone now.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of our quick partner conference.
In case you didn't attend any of the show.
Yeah, I know. You all know this, but a lot of our listeners at home are very curious what happens at the show.
That's how we saw it, yeah.
Yeah. But then there was other news this week.
Yep.
Like...
Which was what?
Like Windows 10 new build this week.
Yeah, Donna, thanks. Thanks a lot.
I'm a little confused. So I'm looking at my Surface Book, and it no longer has... the release number in the corner. I'm on the Fast Track Insider Ring. Mm-hmm. Does that
mean... So that
must
be the release candidate.
Yeah. I mean, it's... Right? We're real close.
They don't want to call it a release candidate.
Vigorously nodding her head to agree with me, Leo.
Yeah, but it means it's a close candidate because you don't remove that until it's the release version, right?
We're pretty close.
We're close.
Yeah.
We're close.
Yeah.
Yeah, past 3-4 builds probably. Yeah. It's been bug fixes and obviously no new features. So.
Right.
Yeah,
we are reaching that point.
Yeah.
Because RTM, as we know, was July 29th, she said. It's close.
Are you quoting her?
I'm paraphrasing.
Right. And then what else? Oh, the cumulative update came out on Tuesday.
Right, the monthly update, yeah.
Right. Which also had, it didn't have any new features, but also a lot of bug fixes. So if you... have the November update like I do on my machine. You've got the cumulative update this week, which they have the knowledge base article. There are a lot of things that are fixed in there.
Yeah.
All different kinds of things.
So and actually, Donna might know something about this.
She might.
because as Windows 10 moves forward, there's going to be a 1607 or whatever we call that version. There's a 1511 version. There's a 1507 version, whatever. I mean, these things still get updated as we go, and so it's not like this is the last cumulative update for 1511. There are still going to be further updates, I would assume. Now I'm getting a blank stare. Yeah.
Tug your Le Bouton strap once. If this is...
Well, no, I think for a lot of people, though, that, you know, we know the anniversary update is coming.
Yeah.
We think of this as the next, you know, Windows 10 moves along. Updated as a service. And so, but there will be businesses that will still run 1511 for some amount of time. And so they'll keep that up to date as well.
Right. So, yeah, Windows 10, that was that.
Yep. Some Windows Phone news.
You miss me, don't you? You want me to lead you on. All right. You were doing so good, I thought, well, I'll just stand back. But you need me, don't you?
We did.
Yeah, what you don't understand is actually that was Donna doing it, not us.
Okay. Now that Donna's gone, I have to take her place?
We're floundering, yeah.
Yeah. Windows Phone, what do you think, guys? Free upgrades to Windows 10 Mobile? Those coming, huh?
In a long-held blogger tradition, Donna, in this case, wrote a 13-word tweet that we then expanded into full articles.
That's all it takes. Just the right 13 words.
It's the value that we add. That's kind of a sad point of my life. But yes.
Yet again, in the Twitter is a cesspool theme.
Yep.
So Paul wrote a post saying, by the way, July 29th is not the end of the free update program for Windows 10 Mobile. And immediately everyone's saying, well, why would it be, Paul?
Oh, because of this slide from January.
Right. I'm like, they said this at the beginning.
But I guess you could make the argument, you know, when did Windows 10 Mobile ship, really? It's kind of an elastic thing. So. Right. Anyway, the point being, if you have a Windows 8.1 phone that is supported with the Windows 10 Mobile upgrade, that's not ending on July 29th, the free upgrade.
Right. Which is what you would expect.
It is what I would expect.
Right. Yeah. Double tap to wake, though.
Yeah, this was actually a huge Windows Phone 8.1 feature that a lot of people liked on Lumia.
Yeah.
And, because if your phone is sitting there on the table and you want to just, see what's going on with the screen, you have to kind of grasp it in some strange way. Being able to double tap the screen just to wake that thing up is huge. And so they're adding that to the 950 and the 950 XL. Although when you get it is going to vary according to where you live, what wireless carrier you have, and so forth. So I haven't actually seen this update yet, but I am looking forward to that.
No, I'm laughing to myself because I'm like, Windows Phone. I love Windows Phone. I'm sad I'm not on Windows Phone.
I know you're a huge Pokemon Go fan, and
I am.
It's really important that you have that Windows.
I don't even understand what the words Pokemon. What's it called? Pokemon Go. I don't even actually really understand what this thing
Paul,
is. But
Paul, stay in Canada. That's all I can say.
You're not welcome back home.
They even found a Pokemon in front of down at number 10 Downing Street. I mean, it's everywhere, my friend.
It's like the Zika virus.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And it makes your head swell. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
No, you can't walk down the street these days without seeing people staring at their phone and running into walls. It's amazing.
I had this conversation with my wife. She said, do you know what this Pokemon thing is? And I said, not exactly. And she said, well, your daughter and her cousin are running around the neighborhood with their phones.
Yeah, you will. So, now, the good news, at least you still have Angry Birds. So, there's something.
Yikes. So moving along to Xbox. Angry Birds has flown
the nest.
Coop.
Yeah.
No more Angry Birds at all on Windows Phone?
Right.
None.
God, that's terrible. Why would they kill it?
Well, I suppose the apps games will still be there, but they're not going to be updated.
If you have it, you can still play it.
Oh. I think so.
Is that the case?
I haven't played Angry Birds in 2 years, so I don't
know. I know. Who cares?
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, the sad thing about Angry Birds on Windows Phone is just that they came to the platform late to begin with. Yeah. It was almost 2 years after the iOS version. And then
it's like the guy who comes to the party late and leaves early. It's like, screw you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Makes
him spill
beer
all over you and then
leaves. Yeah, yeah. Eats all the queso dip and then says, I'm done. I'm out of here.
That's Rovio in a nutshell, yeah. So on the Xbox end, this one's kind of interesting because obviously one of the big features coming in the anniversary update, both on Windows 10 and on Xbox One, is this notion of Xbox Play Anywhere, where you can buy a selection of games that when you buy one on one platform, you get it on the other for free, but you also get to move back and forth between the two. So your progress through the game continues forward, your achievements, work across both. And you could, be playing it on the console, you could be playing it on a tablet, you could be playing it on Windows 10, and you're playing in the same game. It's kind of a cool idea. And so Microsoft had said at E3 last month that every title published from Microsoft Studios will support Xbox Play Anywhere. And then one day last week, they quietly changed that post that made that announcement and said, every new title published from Microsoft Studios that we showed on stage at E3 this year will support Xbox Play Anywhere. And, obviously the internet exploded. I actually don't think this is that serious. If you look at Microsoft Studios and if you understand what it is, it's really kind of a front end for about 20 or more smaller studios that are all over the world. And they all must have their own legal requirements because they're in different countries, Europe, Canada, Asia, Oceania, wherever. I suspect that this isn't some conspiracy theory like this is Microsoft sort of subtly implying that the next Halo won't be on Windows or whatever.
Right.
I really think it's just a legal safeguard because I think they can't literally promise that every single one of Microsoft Studios games, because again, there's really over 20 studios or almost 20 studios, will be published to that system. So it's not, it's important to note, but I don't think this is them stepping back from something they just announced and haven't even released yet. I don't think it's that serious.
Right.
And then the rest of this mess is all you.
Cloud and enterprise. Woo, time for that. One of the kind of quiet announcements, I mean, it wasn't totally quiet, but a lot of people didn't realize that Microsoft announced this, but Windows Server 2016 and System Center 2016 are going to launch at Ignite.
Shocker.
Yeah. I mean, we knew they were going to launch in the third calendar quarter of this year, mm-hmm. But we didn't know exactly when.
And then they moved Ignite to when exactly?
Late
the third
September,
character, calendar
right.
quarter. Of
yeah. Last week of September yeah. is Microsoft Ignite in Atlanta. And I have to point out that launch does not guarantee general availability. Those words are not synonymous.
Guarantee RTM?
No. RTM will be before that.
Okay.
I think server still says
still
it's
uses RTM,
RTM. Don't they?
Maybe.
So I think server probably will RTM around the same time as Windows 10 anniversary, just mm-hmm. a guess. So that could be any time now. And then the product will launch at Ignite, so they'll have a lot of, you know, fanfare announcements, partner announcements. Mm-hmm. Then my guess is general availability will be the very first week of October, because I think it'll go on the October price list on the 1st and then be available. So that was one announcement. And then for people who have been following along with Azure Stack is basically a version, almost the identical version of the Azure operating system that Microsoft runs in its data centers, but for customers and partners to run in their data centers. Microsoft's been testing this for a while now. And here at the show, they announced that instead of doing what they originally said, which was let customers bring any hardware and run Azure Stack on it, that they are going to sell Azure Stack as an appliance. So that means they're going to have deals with HP, Dell, and Lenovo to start, and they're going to preload Azure Stack on certain servers, work with those vendors to make sure it actually works well.
Sounds like the new data center.
Pretty much. It's like a box. Yeah. Somebody said it's like, I haven't seen this on Silicon Valley, but there's some episode where the guy like talks about
The server box.
Yeah. So this is a server box, right? And this is going to be coming out in mid-2017 from Microsoft.
Mary Jo, we got to get you pirated DVDs or something.
I know. I've seen some episodes of Silicon Valley.
You would really appreciate the whole story.
I love it. I actually do love it.
Because they've got this consumer compression program, and at one point, you know, they get a new CEO who's all about enterprise, who says, no, forget this B2C stuff. We're going B2B. And it's very funny. You would enjoy it.
I know. I have seen a few, and I do like it.
Yeah. They wander into the server room, and the guy says, "This is where your box will go." And it's like it's like the warehouse from Indiana Jones. It's like Matt. And then it's we want to see the other place your box will go. And they walk miles of aisles. It's very funny. You'd enjoy
it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is that.
Yeah.
This
a box
is that.
Yeah.
This is that.
This appliance is that box.
That box.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So we did it. We ran through our quick.
All right, let's get out of here.
All right, see y'all later. Sorry. Goodbye, everybody. Wait a minute. No, we want to take questions from the audience. Before we do that, though, will you indulge me as I do one more fine commercial, and then we'll come back.
Make it quick, Leo.
Well, good news. It's Rocket Mortgage. Yes, my friends, this show brought to you by Faster Than a Speeding Loan Application. It's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. We love Rocket Mortgage because it takes the mortgage process into the 21st century fast, powerful, completely online. Yes. Those are the words you want to hear. Man, I don't know if you've applied for a loan in the past few years. We bought our house 3 years ago. So much paperwork. So endless. And so much, you know, faxing and Xeroxing and going through boxes of stuff. It's so much easier now. Believe me. The next time we need to refi or buy a house, we're going to Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. They've taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts out of applying for a mortgage. With Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements and pay stubs with a click of the mouse, or, because you can do it on the phone or the tablet, a touch of a button. Yeah, you don't have to get up from the couch. You can get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution tailored to your unique financial situation. Even better, you don't have to leave the couch. You don't have to go through stacks of paperwork. It's a quick online process. So if you're looking to refi, if you're looking to buy a house, if you're looking to pre-qualify before you go home shopping, check out Rocket Mortgage today. It's from Quicken Loans, so you know it's good. QuickenLoans.com/windows. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Go to QuickenLoans.com/windows. You're going to love it. And now back to Toronto, where Mary Jo and Paul have bunches and bunches of questioners at the Worldwide Partners Conference. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. And Paul's using a Surface Book. Mary Jo Foley's using, it looks like an HP.
Yeah, the new HP Spectre. The thinnest laptop.
Isn't it nice? Don't you like it?
Yeah, it's the one you have, right?
Yeah.
Did you know you could touch? Do you know you can cut cheese with this?
It's amazing, isn't it? You could.
No, there was a video on the Wall Street Journal of them cutting cheese.
That's disgusting.
Because that's what you do with your laptop.
Well, what kind of cheese?
It is thin. It is thin. What kind of cheese? Yeah, that's. But Paul would ask that.
He would.
It's a loner. You're not using it.
It's a loner.
Yeah.
Right.
But
because I've been having problems with my Acer.
It compares to the S7 in terms of thinness, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, it's thinner. Lighter.
Well, it's technically thinner, but come on.
It feels like it is.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it feels much lighter.
It is light. It's nice. I like it a lot.
This laptop's really interesting because if you just hand it to someone, they're always kind of like, whoa, like it doesn't weigh anything.
Yeah, it's very light.
It's really interesting.
Yeah. Good screen. I wish it were touch. I wish it had hello. I don't know why they didn't put hello in, but.
I'm okay with no touch.
Because of the thickness.
It's been nice.
Yeah. You don't care about touch.
No.
And, Thunderbolt 3, you probably don't care about that, but that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to putting Linux on it. It's going to be awesome.
There it is.
There it is.
I just say it to annoy Paul.
That creaky, crawly feeling on my back.
Yeah.
All right. So, are you going to do questions from the audience?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. If you folks want to ask questions, there are microphones here, and just come up and you can ask anything. It doesn't have to be about partnership.
It could be about what I want to do with my life.
Right. We can help you.
Are you
out.
Happy?
I'm feeling yes, exactly.
Right. We can have a group hug.
Yep.
But
the question you never want to hear in a relationship. Are you happy?
Are you happy? Are you really happy?
Do you really want to know the answer? That's the response.
Yes.
Right.
Does anybody have a question?
Do you guys not have questions? You guys seem like you'd be vocal. Come on.
All right, so he will be at microphone two.
Microphone two, come on up.
Hello, I'm David. I'm from Belgium. This morning in the keynote, I don't remember who, but they talked about governed internet. I haven't really looked into this, and I don't really know what it is, but I was wondering what your take on it was.
Good. Do you mean the Microsoft case?
But they showed the case.
Yeah. So Brad Smith was talking about the lawsuit that Microsoft's...
The Ireland email case.
And the whole idea of kind of Microsoft going to bat for people about... data sovereignty, right? And Microsoft actually has been taking the lead on this and being very outspoken up to the point of where I think he showed a clip from the court, right, where he actually was being questioned or somebody was being questioned about this. So Microsoft's been saying, you know, we feel like that customers should have control over where their data is. They should know who's looking at their data when they're... information requests on their data, that customers should be aware of this. So they're being very out front about this, and they're using that as a differentiator and saying, look, we're doing something that these other cloud vendors are not doing. So I think it's good.
Right. Microsoft has demonstrated that the law is on their side, and now they have to prove it in court.
But
The notion being that this data is stored in this case in a data center in Ireland, it's a court case in the United States, it's for someone who lives. Is he a United States? I guess he would be a U.S. citizen.
Right?
It's a drug case, yeah. There was a possibly related thing that happened this week. I haven't written this up yet, but the EU reached that transatlantic data transfer agreement, and I wonder if that impacts the Microsoft case at all, but I'm not quite sure yet.
Thank you. And one more small thing.
Yep.
One little announcement they made flying by in one of the keynotes was live closed captioning on broadcasts.
On Skype for Business. Yeah,
yeah, on Skype for Business and real-time translation, I thought.
Yes.
So I thought maybe Lee would be interested in that.
Yeah.
to send this.
Yeah, very exciting. And that, you know, it's funny, I talked to the Skype folks after that, and when it was actually the woman who was on stage who demonstrated, I think, that part of it.
Yeah.
But she, you kind of went through this list of things that were going on with Skype and Office 365, and I said, you didn't bring up the auto translation. And she goes, yeah, that's just, you know, you just get it.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that's
a nice
that's
feature.
Microsoft's.
It is.
Yeah, it's one of those things that Microsoft can do that I think Google could do that kind of thing, obviously, and then that's about it.
Yeah.
You know, that there are only a couple of companies on Earth who have that machine learning cloud infrastructure to make that stuff happen. Mm-hmm. And when they can apply it across a product that goes and touches so many places in the Microsoft ecosystem, mm-hmm. it's really exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And now we don't have to learn French anymore because it's just going to work.
I know, yeah.
So,
which is great.
That'll be nice.
Another microphone to Guy.
Hi.
Hi.
So, Guy Gregory, what are your initial thoughts and reactions on the Microsoft professional degree that they announced?
I know, I actually didn't mention that.
Yeah.
During the keynote today, Microsoft announced a new, it's basically a certification called the Microsoft professional degree, right? And what this is a kind of a program to allow people to gain certification by taking online classes and doing some hands-on labs. They've got a deal with edX, I think it is, to kind of run this for them, and you pay for different modules that you take. I think it's interesting. The first modules are all around data science. So if you want to learn how to be a data scientist, Microsoft went out, talked to people who are data scientists. They talked to companies that are in the space. They came up with a set of core skills that they think people need to know. And then they devised a bunch of courses for you to take. And they said today during the keynote that they think people could complete this kind of a certification in 4 months.
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing.
I think this is the tip of the iceberg because
I
briefly mentioned this Android nano degree thing, which mm-hmm. is actually a program that Google does with Udacity, right? So mm-hmm. This type of degree, for lack of a better term, is gaining in acceptability. And I think there's going to be a lot of this kind of stuff. In fact, I wondered at the time when I started looking into this why Microsoft didn't have something like this for C#, Xamarin, whatever. And I bet they will. I bet
Me
within
too.
The next year they will. I think this is... going to be a huge change.
Right. Right now, it's just in beta. They're calling
yeah.
it beta because
yeah.
it's just.
I think it's going to explode.
Test.
I think this is yeah. really big.
So if you want to check it out, I've got a blog post about it, and you can go in and sign up now. Give them your email to get more information and to be part of the next class that opens up. Right now, the people who are in the class that's graduating in September have been in this private pilot, but they're going to open it up to more people. So it's worth going and checking that out if you think that might be something you want to do. It reminded me, though, of like a few years ago when Microsoft killed that whole master's certification that they had.
Right.
And at the time, they just said, you know what, we're trying to figure out what to do with our certification and learning platforms. And it might take us a while, but we're going to make it more consistent.
It's going to map, I think, more closely to the way things are
too.
Today in the world.
Same.
I think that's the important thing. So
yep.
whether it's reimagining or how they describe it, you know, the sales and marketing part of Microsoft when Kevin Turner left or... Yep. The certification program, it's going to map to the way things are.
I
think it's going to be big.
So, you know, the one thing somebody asked me that I don't know the answer is how does lynda.com going to fit in here? Because Microsoft, probably when they were building this, hadn't yet bought LinkedIn, and Lynda is part of LinkedIn. So a lot of people are saying, well, are they going to integrate Lynda with this? Or is Lynda going to replace the thing that they built already? And so we don't know that. I don't even know if Microsoft
But Lynda.com is an example of this type of thing.
Right.
You know,
it
because
is.
When the Microsoft certification started, whenever that was 20 years ago or whatever, mm-hmm. You know, you'd go to a room and sit in a crowd, and the guy would talk, and you'd have a book, and you'd do homework, mm-hmm. and you know that was the way things were. But it's a different, you know, it's a different world now.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Come on, guys. Microphone two again.
Hi, I'm Doug from Illinois, and for Windows Weekly fans in the crowd, I'll put a plug for the book that you guys haven't written yet. I'll buy it if you do.
Thank you.
I didn't mention that as a life goal, you'll notice.
That's right. No, but sometimes life goals sneak up on you.
No. Is that it? Really?
Listen.
I'm just keeping it light, you know.
One huge percentage of the people in this room wants this book. Probably more that are quiet, they're nervous.
When you write the Dynamics Field Guide, we can talk.
All right, if that's what it takes.
It might.
The Microsoft guy's guide to Linux.
Yeah, Bash.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything you want to know about Bash.
Sure, sure.
That's you.
I'm going to replace my workflow with Bash scripts.
Mike One.
Look at that. Tom London. Have you heard any rumors about the next generation of Surface devices?
Yeah.
Well, it's been on the floor.
Yeah, you know what?
Surface phone.
Okay.
Yeah, we should talk about
this. This is a bit of a stretch, and I meant to write about this, and I meant to put this in the notes. But I think there's an interesting hint in the blog post, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was Yusuf Mehdi's or the other one, but he talked about, you got to remember this is in the context of Surface, and I am literally paraphrasing because it's off the top of my head, but he said Surface, our focus this year on getting Surface out via our partners. In other words, the focus for Surface this year is the partners,
widening the expansion
of that Surface partner program. Very interesting, right? Because there's been various rumors, started by you, right?
I think.
Well,
hardware launch.
Fall and spring for the big stuff, right?
Yeah.
So the one thing I can tell you, and I can't tell you who told me this, but I talked to some folks from Microsoft this week. And they said, you know, think about how most of the consumer electronics world ships devices. Samsung's devices come out in the spring, the big ones, the S7, S6, whatever. They don't come out in the fall. They come out at that time because that's how you get those things out into the channel. And when you are ready for back to school, whenever that happens, May, June, or the holiday season, which really kind of starts in September, it takes that much time to kind of build up that momentum. And Microsoft has actually always wanted to be on that schedule. They've done things when they've done them because out of necessity, essentially.
Well, the only thing that ever launched that way recently was Surface 3, which they launched in May.
Well, they had random. The original Surface Pro, I think, launched in January one year for whatever reason. And you know, the original Surface device launch was next to Windows 8, which was in October because that's when Windows 8 was launching. Yeah. And obviously, you're going to do that then. But apparently, they've always really wanted to be on the spring schedule, and I think that might, in fact, be the schedule going forward.
Well, I think, as far as we still know, Redstone 2, Donna's not here now, but Redstone 2 is supposed to be out in the spring.
Yeah.
That's what we keep hearing.
So that doesn't mean there might not be something in the fall. We know that there's Xbox something happening, and it might maybe the streamer devices that Brad's been talking about.
There may be some kind of hardware launch with a Surface Pro.
But it won't be Surface Book 2.
No.
It won't be Surface Pro 5.
No.
I think that stuff aligns.
And we also don't know band or no band. We don't know when the band's coming or if it'll be Surface branded. We don't know that.
Right. I would imagine that will be sooner because they're clearly getting rid of the stock on the existing one right now. So. But I do think, I guess what I'm trying to say is based on, yes, a very obscure sentence in a single blog post, but also from talking to people at Microsoft just literally this week, I think the next Big Bang Surface hardware release is spring.
Yeah. Same.
I meant to write about that. I haven't written about it. I've been a little distracted this week. So microphone two. We're just going to make sure we turn you on.
All right. So, hi, I'm Rob from Erie, Pennsylvania. I've been tweeting you guys all week because I've listened to you guys since high school, and it's kind of shaped my world, so thanks for
that.
Shameless, awkward plug.
Sorry.
But it's changed a lot of stuff for me. Actually, following up on that guy's question, for the band and some of these devices, have you guys heard anything? I know a lot of the program managers were running around. Were you able to learn anything about what's changing in the band, why I would care about the next band? I know that's not the focus of this show, but the people were here, so I was just wondering if you guys had anything you were able to drag out of them.
No, not about band.
No, the one thing I heard, because I've been asking, you know, a lot of people have been seeing Microsoft employees wearing a white band. Have you seen people talking about that? It's not the band 3. It's the band color that they give employees.
It's really goofy. You know, we...
I know.
A lot of people who, and I mean me too. I mean,
it's
us. You can spend a lot of time talking about stuff, speculating, and saying this makes sense and everything. And I don't know if it was you or somebody said, why don't we just ask?
I know.
You know?
Right.
Of course
so
we
asked.
And they're
like,
no, that was the employee gift. That was, employees can get those.
But the one thing I did hear at the show this week was Microsoft is really heavily, and this isn't going to be a surprise, heavily focused on the health platform. That's why they care about the band. The band is kind of the sensor, and one of the sensors in a way for the health platform.
Yeah.
So that's, they want to keep the health platform going and really build that up a lot. So I think, I've heard people speculating, will there be another band? Won't there? Or will Microsoft do some kind of other wearable? But we don't have any concrete information, but I know that according to people I'm talking to, there's still wearables in their future of some kind.
I sort of look at the band in like Surface in a way. It's meant to be aspirational. You know, it's meant to be something to inspire other device makers. Like, look what you can do. This was the first device that had 11 or 13 sensors or whatever. It measured everything. You know, it was crazy. And it was like an Imperial probe droid or something with all these, you know, little sensors sticking off of it. But that hardware platform and the software services behind it are both open, right? So we haven't really seen any examples of this, but there's no reason that Fitbit couldn't, or some 30 party, I suppose, since I think it's open on both ends, couldn't be made to work with Microsoft Health on the back end, or that you could buy a Microsoft Band and use it with the Fitbit service and software if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. This hasn't happened yet, but I saw something recently where Samsung has their S-Fit or whatever it's called, whatever that software is, and that was just expanded to be compatible with Microsoft Health and with Fitbit, and that's kind of a weird, you know, that might be a kind of a weird back-end way to make that happen, I guess, but if they can do that, there's no reason Microsoft or a third party couldn't do it as well. And I think the goal here isn't to sell little hardware bands, and you know, $250 a pop or whatever. It's to grow this platform, and that if other cheaper devices come out that work with it, all the better. And I think that's the point of it. I think, you know, it's been soft launch the whole time, right? They really are not going hard at selling these things. And I think that's by design. I think they're trying to have an understanding of how this works in the market and whether it makes sense. And I think what they really want is for someone else to pick up the ball and run with it. So, but I've not heard anything specifically about a Band 3 or whatever.
Just real quick as a side note, not really a question, but actually a question. Did you guys see the North America General Session yesterday with Judson?
No.
Okay, you should, because the content there was pretty fantastic.
So
just kind of plug that session.
Yes. Nice. Thank you. They're all recorded, right? Yep. So we can go see them. Yeah. What did you like the most in that?
We had some really great examples on stage during that session regarding some of the technologies Microsoft's been partnering with other, you know, with partners to build. And then that last piece, which you guys have to kind of see it, the last piece regarding some of the work in Canada is worth
watching. When are you going home, by the way?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Because I'm flying to Pennsylvania tonight, so I was going to say we might be on the same flight. But,
all right, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mike 2 again.
Hi there. Just a quick follow-up to the band. They mentioned the Windows Hello having different logins.
Yeah.
And they go, this band, and they move on to something else. But nobody's actually said with how the band will work and whether it'll be two or three or one. My wife has a one, I've got a two.
They don't say this stuff now. If you notice when they announce new features for the band, they just call it the band.
Yeah.
And you don't know, does this only work on band two? Will it work on the old band? So, yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. I would imagine, I shouldn't imagine. I don't know. They don't say. Mm-hmm. So easy to speculate. Anybody else? All right.
Should we do back of the book?
I think it's time. That was fun, though. Thank you for all the
thanks for the questions.
Great questions from everybody. Mm-hmm. I know you guys have to get out of there pretty quick, but the back of the book is here. So let's start with Paul and his tip of the week.
My picks are so frou-frou for this audience, I apologize. I don't normally even write about this kind of thing, but I actually thought this was kind of a cool deal. If you're using Windows 10, you can sign up for Hulu through the Windows 10 app. I think you can do it on the Xbox as well, and you'll actually get two free months of the service. The normal deal is for 2 weeks. So even if you have an account, you could suspend it and just use the freebie for 2 months. You should just do that. And you have to do it within the next 5 days. It's smart. Just sign up, you know, and watch 11/22/63, which is that excellent Stephen King miniseries. And then the App Raisin mobile pick of the week is a game that's been, you know, like Angry Birds has been on iOS for a while, but it's actually pretty awesome, which is called Alto's Adventure. What do you call this kind of thing, Leo? It's like a perpetual motion scroller.
Yeah,
what's the name?
Side scroller, but it combines side scroller with kind of those running games where you keep going.
Yeah, it just keeps going. What do you call that? There's a name for it, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, there's Tiny... What is that game?
But it's a side-scroller.
Yeah.
Tiny Birds or whatever that was.
Yeah, I remember. It's really fun. It's a great game. Highly recommend it, yeah.
It's neat. So it's a physics scroller, and it has parallax scrolling, which is amazing. It's beautiful. The ambiance is amazing. So the music and the sound effect, it's really immersive. And it literally has one, you can only do one thing. It's one button. So you're either tapping the screen, which you can do like I did on the Surface Book. You can click the mouse or the click pad or whatever. So it works great with all kinds of devices. And it's for Windows 10 for PCs. Also, I just want to throw out that Skype for Business Mac Preview 2 was released sometime late last week, I think. And they're slowly bringing that thing out over various previews. There's going to be a third and I think a fourth preview before the final release. And they're just basically bringing that thing up to speed with the version that's on Windows. And so if you've been waiting for that on the Mac, there is a much improved preview. Although, I should add, if you've been waiting and aren't on the preview, you can't get it because the preview is currently closed because they have enough testers, I guess. But that should be out sometime, I think, September, October, or something like that.
Mary Jo Foley starts us off on the enterprise side with her pick of the week.
Right. Every year around the time of the partner conference, Eric Ligman, who is the director of sales excellence at Microsoft, does a blog post where he gives away. So he has a whole list of all kinds of ebooks that he's giving away. And this year is no exception. So if you just search for Eric Ligman and free ebook giveaway, he's here. Yeah. He came to our meetup, actually, on Monday.
Oh, right, okay.
Yep.
I was like,
yeah, right. Did you see him?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's books on everything, pretty much. Windows 10, Office 365, SharePoint, CRM, PowerShell, System Center, Server, SQL Server.
Angry Birds?
No books on Angry Birds. Sorry.
Bash Shell.
There might be. There's PowerShell. Not the same shell.
Same thing.
And all you have to do is go on his site. He has a link where you can download all of them from one link, or you can go pick and choose among them. They're free. There is no catch. They're all free. And he has them all compiled in a nice format on his site. Yep. So just search for Eric Ligman, Ligman, free ebooks, and you'll see the whole list.
Is he here? He's not in the room, is he?
He's not here. No. No, he is not. Right. So that was my pick, enterprise pick. My codename pick, so I'm going to say, first off, I don't know if this is a real codename. Someone told me this is a real codename, and it's so awesome, I just have to make it the codename pick. So the rumor is that the App Source portal that Microsoft announced this week, which is where they're going to be listing all kinds of business services, software as a service, all kinds of business apps that integrate with different Microsoft partners. The word is, the code name for that was SaaS-a-palooza.
Oh!
I know. Isn't that awesome?
Like Surface.
It's such a great code name. If that really was the code name, it's such a not Microsoft code name.
SaaS-a-palooza.
SaaS-a-palooza. So I can't vouch for that myself, but if it is and was the code name, kudos to whoever at Microsoft did that. Instead of something really boring, it was a great code name. Too bad that couldn't be the final.
Microsoft SaaS-a-palooza.
Microsoft SaaS-a-palooza. Yep. But if you haven't checked out AppSource, by the way, look for that too, because this is a big announcement at the partner show for people who have been partners of Dynamics, partners of Office 365, Azure, and there's all kinds of ways that you can search for apps that are in particular verticals, as well as kind of look at what works with what. Microsoft apps are in there and partner apps are in there. So very handy way to look for apps and services.
And finally, my friends,
the only reason anyone's still here.
It would not be a Windows Weekly without a beer pick of the week.
And we've had a lot of beer this week.
We have had a lot of beer this week.
But you're still in the mood for more.
Suffering from that.
So the beer pick is a Pilsner. Not my favorite style, but it's been so hot in Toronto this week, you have to drink
a
Pilsner.
Beer.
And there is a brewery right near the convention center called Steam Whistle, you've never been there.
Oh, yeah.
And they specialize in Pilsner. So the beer pick is the Steam Whistle Pilsner. I've been to the brewery, surprisingly, and it's very good. Like I said, Pilsner's not my style, but it's a really clean, crisp, delicious Pilsner. Perfect for these hot days. In between eating all the ice cream we've been getting on
Plus,
the street.
It's right behind the conference center.
It is. It's right. It's such a short walk from here. If you haven't seen it,
you can stumble out of here, be in the sun for about 5 minutes, you'd be all
and
set.
And then you'll be there.
Yeah.
Yes. So Steam Whistle Pilsner is the pick from here, from Toronto.
Yay. Yeah. Wow, this was so much fun, you guys. Really enjoyed it.
Doing this from my tiny office in my home is just going to be not the same.
Next week is not going to feel like this.
I'm sorry to hear it. Sorry to hear it, but yes, it's time. Paul Theriot and Mary Jo Foley, as you know, live from the Microsoft Worldwide Partners Conference in Toronto. Is the conference over, or is there more to go?
There's one more day tomorrow.
Yeah.
And tonight, the special guest, one of them for the partner party, is Gwen Stefani.
Right.
What? Is she performing?
Yes.
Oh, man. I love
if you can stay for the weekend, Guns N' Roses will be here on Saturday.
Oh, you didn't talk about your hotel room.
Oh, yeah. Leo, you might have seen
I saw the picture. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, there's the Renaissance Hotel that's right at the stadium. It's literally right at the stadium. So the room I had looks out over the field. And we watched the baseball game from there. It was pretty cool on Sunday. And then they tore the field apart. And they closed the dome. And they started tearing everything down. Wow. And then they put a tarp over my window so I can't see anymore.
Oh, but no.
When you go downstairs, yeah, so it went from the best view in the world to the, like, worst view in the world. But when you go downstairs near the bar area, there's a couple windows you can still see through, and they've built the stage now for the concert that's happening on Saturday. And I guess you don't get that as a perk when you stay in the room.
It's not really
you can listen to it, you just can't see it.
You get the ball game, but not the performances. That's terrible.
It's crazy, though, because you know, the window opens, and there's people less than 10 feet below you, and the whole stadium's there, and it's...
No, I've always wanted to stay there, because I've been, I've, of course, been to games there, and you see the hotel rooms right there, and I thought, that'd be so cool. I seem to remember when it first opened that there were incidents.
Yes, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
It was an incident that I was involved in as well.
Okay, I can't wait to hear the story.
A lot of people pointing and security guards talking to each other.
Women fainting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Small children screaming in terror.
Yeah.
It's
I'm a Boston fan, so you know.
It's kind of a cavernous stadium, but boy, you've got the best view. I mean, it's so fun.
When it's open, it's amazing. I mean, then when it closes, it's like, it's so awful.
But, I don't like it.
But it's beautiful when it's open.
You can see why they close it, though. It can get
pretty steamy
on a summer evening in Toronto.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you guys are having fun, and I'm so glad we could do the show from the Worldwide Partners Conference. Thanks to Microsoft for their help. Anybody you want to thank?
Yes, Todd Nelms has to get a shout out.
Definitely.
Plus, we have a whole crew of people here that Microsoft had help us. So thank you so much to the sound.
I can tell because every time I change the lower third, they were messing with me. I know you guys. I got my eyes on you. I know what you're up to because they'd be on a single of Mary Jo. I put the Mary Jo Foley lower third up, and then they go to a two shut just because they were messing.
Sure.
Tell them I got my eyes on you.
No, this is really impressive.
It is.
And, you know, we should thank Donna and...
Donna and James Whitaker.
Wow, wasn't that great?
And Roper, you know, for coming by.
Everybody who...
And everyone who came to the meetup,
nice. I know. Everybody who came to our meetup, great.
I held up a wall in the corner like I usually do.
I think you're still holding that wall up. I hate to tell you.
Hey,
have a great time. We thank you so much. I appreciate you being here. What fun this has been. It won't be as good next week. I'm sorry, but we will do it again next week. We have to. Wednesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. Tune in. live.twit.tv or twit.tv/live, and you can watch live via our chat room at irc.twit.tv. And of course, this show and all of the shows we do on the network are available for download, audio and video, at twit.tv. In this case, twit.tv/ww. You can also find them wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Make sure you subscribe so you get it each and every week. Try the veal. It's delicious. Paul Theriot is at Paul's website, theriot.com. His books are at leanpub.com.
Look at you.
I know.
Yeah,
you remember?
No, well, I'm just, tinyflyinggame.com. Little girly hand.com.
Yep.
You know, the Republican convention is next week, so if I were you, I'd stay in Canada. I'm just saying. Last chance. Did they ask you at the border? You're not planning to stay here by any chance, are you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We get extra grilling because they're like, Americans, like, we know you all want to come here.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's a pretty nice place. We're going to ruin it.
Little tip, you can actually get in trouble if you say you're going to an event Yes. And so the best thing to do is just say, I'm a tourist, going to see your beautiful country, then go right home.
We got a letter from Microsoft.
Yeah. It's all good. This year, Microsoft gave us, that's helpful. They always do this letter, so
yeah,
that was great.
That's helpful. Yeah. Although, again, you can, going into any country these days, it's really best just to say, I'm a tourist, I'm a teacher. That's what I always say. I'm a school teacher, and I'm a tourist, and I have no plans of staying here, and I'm carrying no money out, only in. Only
never say you're a journalist.
That's no, exactly.
The kiss of death when you go through
customs. That's why I didn't go to China last year.
I ended up getting a Canadian visa because it was very difficult getting in. So I got a visa and I was able to go back and forth.
Yep.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.
Thank you.